Welcome to this meeting today, the 7th of our group calls, of course the 14th, because we always had two calls, and thank you for being here today, and I'm going to check quickly here with Wynonna. I can recognize you. I'm just going to check, Wynonna, can you hear me? Everybody hears me? Yes? Hello? Yes, I think so. Okay. I can hear some sounds. Okay. So, this is the fourth module. And I'm going to go a little bit into a teaching aspect here because we're a lot of different people and there's a lot going on in the first 4 months because I've introduced you to different yogas. And in the beginning, in the first module, and in the second, really, because the first is a lot of introduction, we're looking at pure perception and the center of the mind. And the fact is that everything we experience is illusory if we are identified with the sense of I-ness. So it's a very steep, sharp, surgical cutting away the illusion on the mental plane. How we look at things, how we think. So based on the attractions, aversions, really looking at how we do that. In the third module, we entered the realm of the heart and the psychic world, the world of luminosity, of beauty and attraction. And then in the fourth module now, we're going to the world of energy. Energy and its management. And by this time, you probably found that some of these modules are more attractive to you than others, or you feel more at home. And then you've noticed maybe that, and I've heard some of you wrote that this last module is starting to kind of trip you up, and it's like got a little stuck and not knowing where to go and starting over again, all this. First of all, there's two reasons for that. There is a pattern in our biology that goes in semesters, just the way we actually as babies grew in semesters, every 3 semesters, like a season. And so after 3 months, there's some kind of reshuffling and reorienting going on. So that's first of all happening. And then secondly, the power module is maybe unfamiliar to you in some way, just to see spirituality through that particular doorway. And some of you actually, and I've some of you who are not on the call right now, I think so because I can't read all the names, but they've written me that this is where they're really at home. So this is a really fun part, and they're just feeling at home with that. And they were having more difficulties in the earlier modules. So this is all good because you're beginning to recognize a little bit your nature and how you're designed. You know, if you had 4 feet like a dog or a cat, we'd be more comfortable, you know, moving in a different way. But we are two-legged, so we move upright in a different way. So we have to go with our nature, and then it just clicks. So we're going to do a little exercise, actually, a little fun game that gives you a bit of an idea what this power module is actually good for and useful for. And as you know, is that you have a body, and this body is locating itself in the physical world, in the world of forms. And how you do this, how much energy you have, and how you are able to respond and react and also act upon what is around you, the energies. It depends on the amount of power you have. You can have a tremendous amount of goodness in your heart, but things are just not working out. We always hear sometimes that people are, all the good people, there's all this bad stuff happening to them. There's different reasons for that, but one of the reasons also just they have a good heart and they're good souls, but they just don't have the power to make an impact on the environment that they're born into. So we have to develop all of us, and you have maybe a little taste of the different yogas that you've already gone through. So then there's going to be a section where we're going to answer some questions, the love questions. They've been coming up because some of you have their hearts, you know, engaged with another person, and there were some questions today from Agnes that I'd like to answer. And then we're going to go also into a book that I posted on module four. I'm going to post more scripture to read. And even if you don't read the whole book, like from the left brain, it makes a very good sleeping aid, because some of them are just going to be difficult to understand, but there are transmissions. They're very potent books, and they assist you to really anchor yourself a little bit more in the proper place when you enter the sleep time. And they will also answer some questions and eradicate some of the confusions that often have been passed down through the ages and kind of modernized, we could say. We're going to look back exactly what was really said, what's going on. So we did the call. Some of you were on the call, the 360 Winter Solstice call, and thank you if you were present there. And I wanted to remind everybody here in this course that you're doing kind of two things at the same time. But, you know, we're multitaskers anyway. You know, we go to work and we do this and this, and we're using it as a yoga to awaken. The movement into the fifth dimension is happening within the dream of the person that you are. It is like we're all collectively moving from a very tiny town that had very limited rules and access to things into like a huge city, like massive city like New York or even bigger. You know, where suddenly there's all these opportunities and possibilities, and somebody doesn't look at you if you have a different color, or you have a different idea, or you dress differently. You can just be yourself. So we're collectively moving into 5D. But that doesn't have anything to do with you choosing to wake up or not. You can also wake up, but it's even easier. And that's what's kind of nice about it. It makes things a lot easier. But at the same time, the rule and the law of the universe remains. Just simply, like gravity remains. Even if you move to another bigger town, the sun will still rise in certain, you know, ways. The seasons remain. Everything is kind of still the same. The way the law is put down in this part of the universe, in this part of the solar system. And so the basic rules are still the same. They remain the same. And the basic rule is what? The basic rule is know thyself. How is ego born? Where does that start? Ego starts. And the book that I'm going to suggest is very small and kind of really goes into that the ego starts by you confusing yourself with consciousness. Everything is one consciousness, and like the sun, there's just one light, and all the different rays, they're not even rays really, but there's this appearance of rays, and then that one is saying, I am my own individual consciousness. And from there, from that awareness that you can be aware of as you're looking into the room, that I that is aware of things, that I then continues with, I have a body, I have a room, I have a house, I have a husband, I have a child, I have a garden, etc. I have this problem, I have not this problem, I have this disease, I have this health, and it goes on and on. And so there is a collective dream that this universe is in, because we're in the Kali Yuga, and the fifth dimension is also a collective dream. But there's an individual dream that you can step out of, your own individual dream. So humans have the free will to step out of the dream individually. And that is why the fear of that everything just disappears. Often people have that fear when they wake up and become enlightened, they're just, everything's just going to be gone. No, the collective Maya, the collective appearance of the light, everything is emptiness. The collective appearance remains, but you know that it's illusory, and you can then go into it and play and have fun and extrapolate yourself when it hurts and when you suffer. That's the freedom. And that's why enlightenment is such a cool thing. And the free will is such a cool thing to have. So, coming to the love question, there was a question about how to know if one is an old soul. I'm not sure what the motive is of this question, why we would need to know that. What good does it serve? It would be my question. Because then you know, or you know that people around you are old souls, and how does that help you in your waking up? It's just a curiosity question, and it gives you data. And then you have data, and data is something that it's not really useful. But if it's a place of a true question, because it's really, it just arose, like true things arise out of this timeless place, and suddenly it's Tuesday at 11:05, and this question is really real, and you must know for some reason, then, yeah, how do you know that you're an old soul? One thing is that you are obviously empathic and feeling for other people, because that's quite an evolution for a human to have that, and to basically be a little depressed, not really believing or not feeling satisfied by the sensory satisfactions anymore. So going out there and you've done it. There's a lot of things that you're just not interested in anymore. And maybe you do it and you can enjoy it a bit, but it doesn't really hit the spot in your soul, because your soul has done it over and over again. There's a certain amount of wisdom, because you just kind of know things. You also are somewhere quite developed, and you have learned that somewhere. Your soul has those skills. Now, are you an old soul on this planet, or are you off planet? And there's a mix of things. Many people have had dominant soul births in other dimensions, galaxies, and maybe only a few on this earth, and others have been on this earth for a very long time, especially those that are feeling very pagan. These people have a very strong link to the earth, and they kind of, their evolution happened on this planet. They have a certain understanding of nature and of feeling themselves into that, that is maybe different than those that are very cerebral and just can't really connect with the body or see the body as quite separate from them. So there's all kinds of variations. We're a very mixed crowd. And what is an old soul? As far as I know, somewhere around 40,000, 60,000 years up that's an old soul. And yeah, so 60,000 to 80,000 years, and that includes a lot of incarnations also as animals and such things. What is true love? The one that lovers talk about. Okay. Well, the other question is us is what does falling in love really mean? And when we're awake and are in love all the time. Coming back to the third module of the heart, the open heart, your nature, when the heart is open and there is you and the other are one. In the heart, there is just one seamless experience. And everybody has had that. You look at an animal in the eyes of an animal or a person or a child or, you know, and suddenly there's just this clicks where you're just at one for a moment. You have a moment of recognizing ourselves and the other. There's just a timeless moment where there is no difference, and we're kind of joined in a moment. Love is a glue, so that it means that we're not separate. And when we talk about falling in love, I mean, the word falling is already kind of, you know, it gives it away that this is not a good thing, although we like the feeling because it's a rush. It's like jumping out of an airplane or something. You know, it gives you a sensory experience of being moving through energetic space, and it gives you a rush. It's like a drug. But it really has nothing to do with loving. It's something that happens when you are engaging with another person's energy in such an intimate way that there's a lot of movement, a lot of energetic movement. It feels quite pleasant because it takes you out of your rut. It takes you out of that everyday egoic structure that is so boring and deadening. And some people just love to fall in love because that's what it does for them. Like getting drunk or something. It just does, it changes, it alters your energy. And when you are, I think I spoke about it in in module 3 in one of the MP3s, that your heart opens and closes, right? It has a dualistic mechanism when there's judgment and when you are not awake. When you are holding the heart open, you're not judging, and you're just really refraining from judging, then you become very sensitive and vulnerable, because the heart is also the center of prana. And in that moment, the heart doesn't shut and it stays open. And then you're actually in a state of love. When we meet somebody that we like and we're not judging them as ugly, bad, and etc., we just get excited. There's something about that person that we like. It hits our list of okays or really good, you know. Then we say yes. There's a judgment of, oh, I like that, and so the heart opens. So we have pleasure in seeing that being, that other person, and that when we open the heart, then it feels like we're loving that person. And what we're doing is we're projecting all these good parts that we actually usually need for ourselves. There, we look for them outside of us because they're usually. They're actually these attributes are in our own unconscious, and we don't have access to them. So we look for them on the outside. And then, like I say, it's kind of sad that we sort of project onto the other, this is such a great being, et cetera, but really what you're doing, you're looking into your own mirror. It's your mirror, and you're looking at yourself. And these are the attributes and things you love also about yourself. And that you need, often want to claim. Sometimes you can't let them in for yourself, and you see them in somebody else. Either we love them in somebody else, or we hate it. We reject too because we're jealous, maybe something like that. So these are all these mechanisms of the heart. But what really happens is that if that person goes away, or they do something and say something we don't like anymore, then of course the heart shuts because we don't like it. It's a judgment, so heart shuts. And that moment we fall out of love, and the love ends. And so that's the game we play. The sad thing is that the love you felt was your own love. That's your own love. So you can actually be in love all the time. You don't need a partner. It has nothing to do with a partner. And that goes also deeper into sexuality. And that kind of filters a little bit into the power module, because when we go down into the abdominal area and we do the same thing down there, then the experience of love becomes this very potent sexual experience, because sex, the sexual energy, it's an energy. It has to do with your being and your power. And we use the world around us, and because we're polarized, let's come back to the fact that this planet is polarized. There's dark and light, electric, magnetic, men and women. So because when you're not awake and there's judgment, then you are split. You are being just a man or just a woman, and you're going to project onto the outside the opposite. Now, if you're gay, you'll have a dominant coloring of being, let's say as a man, you have a feminine coloring, and then you're looking for a more masculine coloring, or your own mask coloring is very masculine, you're looking more for a feminine coloring in a male. But essentially, you're going to always have that polarization going on, and the need to merge and click the puzzle together. And somebody who seeks enlightenment has to really make a decision to look at this very strongly, because if you believe that the outside is real in the way you perceive it, and that you trust this whole mechanism as being the ultimate, you're just going to be caught like everybody else, you know, for a long time. Billions of people are playing this game. You have to tell yourself that that's really wonderful. You know, it doesn't mean you have to be celibate. Of course not. It means that you are going to really stop projecting. You're going to see how you respond, what happens to you in the heart, in the mind, and in the energetics. And don't lose your center. The sexual power is, the sexual force is so strong that I don't even want to talk about it too much in this early module. We're going to go into this a little later. To master that takes quite some time. I have to say it's the force that makes tsunamis and makes the world go round. It creates universes and galaxies, and you are part of that, and you actually are partaking in that power. You're just unconscious, and you're cut off from it to the degree that you are being or not. I'm going to repeat this. You are cut off from the power that is potentially available to you, because you would be destroying the universe, really. So there is a mechanism between the heart and the power center. And the power modules are the beginnings of getting your life in order for you to utilize your power to at least have a good income, make money, be in places that you should be, and be able to leave places you shouldn't be anymore. Say the right things when it's necessary. Have the power to heal your body, and in all these things. So these are just the basic things of human maintenance before we even go into the more crazy out there stuff. So what does falling in love mean anyway? So we talked about that. When we're awakened, are we in love all the time? Yes, you are actually. And in fact, at this point, I think it's relevant to even share that when Jason and I got together, we were actually not even, at least from my perspective, I wasn't even interested in Jason. I mean, he was, not that I don't like younger men, I was with a younger man before, but he was younger, he was a natural bodybuilder. I didn't even know that too much. I didn't care about these things, although he was a model in magazines, I didn't even know that. All I knew is that he wasn't really somebody that I usually fall for. And like talking about falling in love when I was younger. And I was actually I had already, you know, been in service doing this work, and I wasn't really caring about being in a relationship. I also knew that it was impossible with who I was. Somebody couldn't be in a relationship with me because there's no contracts. The only contract is to be in truth. And that's not what people want. People want a lot of agreements of, the sexual agreements and this and this and this. Interestingly, he was so mature and such an old soul that he wasn't interested in a relationship either. So we both were like, oh, we're not interested in relationships. And so we met each other in the realm of true love. And true love doesn't feel like falling in love. I can tell you that. It has nothing to do with this feeling that you have that I remember in my 20s and 30s. So it's very different. It means that there's so much freedom that you don't expect the other to be a certain way. And so that is, you know, that you are in love, and that is not a feeling per se. It's a contentment. But because the human cycles through all these different experiences, it can also be very intense and very deep, but it's way more profound and has way more colors. It's like almost like the palette of colors is more, but you don't determine, you don't pick. Let's say you always like the color red, you know, then you don't go picking that red. You just refrain and allow, again, life to arise, and then it becomes an evolution. It becomes an evolutionary game, and things that we discover that happen in the interplay on all levels as this couple, you could say, sounds even weird, is something that is just a journey of discovery that has nothing to do with what people look for when they get married. It is a program that's has been around for, you know, 3,000 years or 2,000. It's a new program, marrying, being celibate, and having children, all this, and all that will very likely change again because everything comes and goes. Because when you love everybody equally. The way I love you, I love everybody else. I can't say I love somebody more than another because it's just it requires to make differences, and that's just not the way it works. You can't make your heart do that anymore. So you want to come to a state where you are being love, and you don't project love out. So now coming to the exercise that I was going to do. This is something I learned from my teacher, is in the power module, why do you have to clean up your life? Why do I ask you to make things impeccable, to manage your energy in a certain way? When your energies are tight and they're not messy, they're not unconscious, there isn't stuff lying around, that because everything is connected to you, right, through energy strands, and that is siphoning off your energy, be places, friends, objects, etc., etc., then you cannot be flung into higher states of consciousness because you won't come back. The energy isn't tight enough. You are like a loose rubber band. If you have a tight rubber band and you pull it, bang, you let go, it snaps right back into place. But if you have a loose rubber band and you pull a little bit, it will not exactly, first of all, you can't really, it's all very vague. It doesn't go back to its original shape that easily. It's not tight. So this is when people that have, where their awareness is very splintered and all over the place, they won't have very good success in the meditations. The teacher can't really, when they get initiated, or if the teacher does initiate them, then they won't really have the experience that they could have, because where are you going to put that person? They're going to be lost out there. You're going to come back and be more spaced out. They're confused. And the worst thing would be even like be mentally distraught and just not quite functioning quite right. I have turned down one person I remember very clearly in 2007, who really wanted to participate in an advanced course with me and initiation. And she was on several medications, and I said, no, I can't do that. I knew she was going to go crazy, and I kept referring her back to her psychologist and her psychiatrist. And of course, she got very mad because she couldn't understand it, right? That's also part of the illness and fighting about it. And anyway, I dealt with it elegantly, and she essentially basically, you know, I think when I met her on the street years later, and she walked by me in kind of a I smiled at her and she smiled. I think she understood at some point that I was really the best thing for her to do, and she looked different as well. But, you know, when we are cleaning up our lives, we're really working with our energy, the energy that's available to you. And you might even find that certain diseases or problems even disappear. You might have seen relationships between your environment and maybe your drawers, your closets, and the books you have around, and et cetera, et cetera. So, who are great mystics? You'd be surprised to know that, for example, what's his name again? No, I got really spacing on his name. Apple. Steve Jobs. Yes, Steve Jobs. He was a great mystic. He is one of the people, and it has, I mean, you think of him, he wasn't really a heart person. I mean, he was a pretty crazy dude. And if you've ever, you know, watched his, the movie about him, you know, he wasn't really, you know, caring too much about little things, and he was not emotional, was not really, you know, with his family and all that. He had a mission. He was a real mystic. He did something that needed to be implemented as part of a mission of this time and a transition to fifth dimension. So this is really interesting to watch, because everybody thinks spirituality only has to do with the saints and the nice people. Not at all. Far from it. Far from it. If you understand that everything is spiritual, this is all light and all expressions of the one God are spiritual, and you have that really open mind, you will begin to see how spirituality is being practiced everywhere. The difference is that some people suffer and others don't. And let's look at, you know, Apple, for example, and a mystic, and this is going to be what I kind of talked a little bit about. I talk about energy signatures in the 360 call. The mystics, they feel themselves into energy. And not just in reading them, like in the mind, sort of. They actually feel it. It's like with their bodies. And I want you to imagine, I'll do a little exercise. I want you to imagine Coca-Cola. Everybody had a can of Coca-Cola. And I know you don't have it handy here right now, but that doesn't matter. You're quite capable of just imagining or feeling. You know, remember when you feel yourself into that red can of Coca-Cola, I want you to just feel that. Just kind of, it's like you're holding it in your hand. Just connect with the energy of Coca-Cola and just notice the energy signature of that. Yeah? And you will probably find words of clean, tight, focused, sharp. And if you agree with me, there are these kinds of adjectives come up. There's no clutter. There's a clarity there. It's almost like a bit of glass. Right? Now put that Coca-Cola can down in your mind. And I want you now to pick up Pepsi. And just feel yourself into the company of Pepsi. Do you notice that right now? Right there? It's kind of a little duller. It's a bit spread out. The energy a bit more wishy-washy. You feel the lack of sharp there, of tight and clear. So it's more wishy-washy. It's kind of just some happy there, but a little bit dull. You know, it's like a bit of gray. So these are sort of adjectives that I would put to that. And then let's come back to let's say Apple, the Apple company. You probably have a computer or a phone in your hand, right? And just feel into that quality of that company. And you feel how sharp it is, how focused. It's so clear of what it wants to accomplish and what it has accomplished. You see, this is the sign of a good mystic. A mystic is very clean, organized. I mean, Steve Jobs would even name the computers inside. They would have written down things. He would have different colors. Everything is thought through. Everything is exactly right on the dot. There's no messiness. There's no, you know, no hair in the wrong place. a mystic's home is quite organized, and there won't be anything that the person doesn't need. It's going to just sit around there. So now, if you want to if you kind of feel a little, maybe now that we did a little experiment like that, and you kind of feel into your own life, maybe even imagine yourself in front of you, or put yourself even doing this. Let's put yourself now like a little doll in your right hand. Just kind of put yourself in there. And just the way you felt into Coca-Cola or Pepsi, I want you to feel into this person in your hand. Get a sense of how tight or how messy the energy is. Just feel into it. Yeah, that's nice. Okay. You have probably some insights. Yeah, that's right. And you can see, you know, how you can, that you probably need to tighten things up a bit more. There's still loose ends. There's just vagueness, you know, all these things. Okay, let's kind of just clear our hands. Just be present here again. A mystic has the ability, has the power to shift very fast. It's like shifting gear. Back, forth, energetically. You can go somewhere in your mind and back, come back. And that's what you do in your meditation. I want you to just suddenly, I want you to shift into joy just at will right now. Find the frequency of joy you've had it in your life. Nice. Yes. Exactly. Now shift out of it into peace. Good. Shift into your core. Just be present. No resting nowhere. Don't land on anything. Good. 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 Well done. See, a mystic does that. A mystic has a lot of control, and that's very useful because essentially that's what you need to run this vehicle of what we call body, emotions, and mind. So maybe you don't really like this module that much, but it'll be very useful because if you, okay, there's a lot of clearing happening now. That's good. Some excitement. and then in the later module, we'll learn also about how to go about getting a job or manifesting that which is your future work, because the future exists here right now. Everything is in your core. That's all mystic work. And in this 5D, things are very fast. It's really not so much about pulling so much energies or walking along a timeline or something. Like I said, it's here right now, so it's more immediate. It makes it easier, but you also have to have the power. That means you have to be able to run the light, the currents through your nerves to make these changes, so they kind of switch back and forth and aren't staying caught up in subconscious programming and say, oh, no, it can't be happening. So I'm sure there's a lot of questions now or comments on this. And so I'm going to just look at the computer here and just going to open up for questions and comments. Okay, so I'm going to open up in California, 8056. And St. Louis, hello.
Hi, Arashima. Good morning. This is Ruth Jean.
Hi, Ruth Jean. Hi there. This is the first time we're speaking. Okay.
I was just taking notes. Okay, fast forward. So I don't, I'm in at present. The mind is the thought. Is the body the feeling and the spirit is emotion, or have it all over the place?
What? I didn't get the question. Can you say the question again?
When you say, imagine yourself like between the Pepsi and the Coca-Cola, and when I do that, I imagine myself hugging myself, you know, as big as I am, hugging myself, you know.
Well, and that's an expression of love. Okay, but it was more about reading your energy. What did you get? What's the energy, overall impression of your energy? Is your energy very impeccable, or is it kind of a little loose?
I really give myself a tight hug, like I miss it.
You miss your energy? I think you're not answering my question, Ruth Jean, but that's okay.
When I hug myself, when I hug myself, I give it a tight hug, and like you miss somebody, that is how I hug myself. Like because I miss somebody, I miss myself. I hug it very tightly.
Okay. So you're basically you're doing something different. You didn't do anything of what we did the exercise about, but you responded by loving yourself, and maybe you had a sense of pulling yourself together and giving yourself some energy and comfort. That's okay. That's okay. And are you feeling good now?
I feel so good, and I feel so great. I feel big. I really feel big. Yeah,
okay.
And expansive, like fat, you know, big.
Okay. Good. Well, that's good. That's a good feeling.
I wanted to feel my inner child, but I'm not in my inner child. I am in my mature adult energy, you know, in body.
Okay.
The actual size of my body.
Okay.
That is the kind of big energy I feel.
So who is feeling all this?
That is my next question, because you were talking about core. So
yes.
I'm trying to, not my mind, no. It's more of my body that feel it. I didn't think about
it. Okay, the feelings. I want you to go for a moment to the sense of me, where you just say me. There's just that one which is aware. Can you experience that?
Yes.
Good. And that one is not a feeling, not a thought, not a big energy. It's just, that's just you, correct?
Yes.
Good. If you want to wake up, you need to rest in that and don't leave it. Just stay in that and allow yourself to not even label it. So it's go even deeper into it, where there is just something you can't describe. You're just here. That's really, if you take the core line, it's like the dot, the oneness, God, source itself. If I pull that out, like in geometry in school, there's a dot and then you can turn it into a line, but you can also pull the line back into a dot, right? That's basic geometry. So that dot that we just, you know, saying that it's just you. There's just you. You're just here. If we open that up, you know, into a line, and we have this experience of emptiness, the experience of pure love, and the experience of pure energy, that's your core that I talk about, because for most people, it's easier to work themselves through the different parts of the core and steps. But essentially, you are that which is prior to the word I.
Okay.
There is no Ruth Jean. You can think about Ruth Jean, you can describe her, but there is that which is conscious of all of that. And that is what you want to rest in.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, I'll just let that sit. Okay, thanks, Ruth Jean.
Thank you.
Okay, bye. Okay, so we're going to speak in New York. 917. Is that Danielle?
No, this is Christine.
Christine, yes, of course. You're
this
917.
This is $10 million lady.
Oh, yes, $10 million. Okay.
So I'm playing catch up. I started the course B late, and I just got all the calls last week. And this is my first time here. And I so love it, and I am a little overwhelmed all at once.
Yeah, well, we have to let the others know you were already in course A, but you're realizing that
yes.
the calls are just quite a different
caliber,
right? Yeah.
Oh, the calls are, it's like the secret sauce. I love
yes.
it. It really makes sense to be, you know, everything
yeah.
I've been doing, you
yeah.
know, it made me go back and start the course over again because I feel like I missed out on so much. So I haven't
yeah.
even touched four yet. You know,
That's, there are a few others that are kind of restarting again, and you got the whole January to go over it. And in fact, what I'm seeing here for the rest of the year, because we're all quite different, and some people came into the calls later, that we're going to be all over the place a little bit. That's just fine. And that's, again,
okay.
being not attracted nor repulsed about it and just being here. Essentially, we're not going anywhere, not really any different. It's just the experience of it, and we'll just be at peace with it.
Great. That's great. Well, mm-hmm. I just, you know, I have a couple of questions, if I can.
Yes.
One is that I feel like, and I've heard other people say this as well, that I get it. It's like a dream. I feel like, you know, when you go to tell somebody your dream and
mm-hmm.
you start to forget it as you're saying it, I feel like I get the work and I really have it solid. And then it just, like, starts to fade away. Like
That's good. That's good. I like that. That's what has to happen. That's beautiful. Yes, because you see, you remember the snake and the rope. When it's dark and there is ignorance, as you're not identified with the light, right? You see the world as bad, as good and bad. There's a snake there. You know, there's fear. You're born with fear. You see this body. But then you turn the light on and suddenly the snake is gone. You see a rope. What happened?
Oh,
it's not
okay.
that you see it dissipates. So suddenly you just can't hold on to these illusions. It's not that the reality around us, like the chair you sit on and your body, isn't real. Not, it is real. It is, but it's light. It's what you see it is. For what you see it, that's wrong. So you always say, what's the truth here? And to bring more light into yourself, meditate more, and you will see more and more the truth of life, the people around you, and who you are.
Oh, that's beautiful. I like that. That's so good. I needed to hear mm-hmm. that because it makes me feel like I'm not capable of holding on to it. And
yeah, you're not supposed
to. You know,
I
get a little frustrated. Okay. That's good.
You're good. Yeah, the Shakti and the light, you know, is going to dissolve your patterns. And so your mind will go through. Everybody has a different response, right? Some people feel very empty or they can't concentrate. I mean, I did this long time ago before even the 5D existed, and I thought I was going to have Alzheimer's at the age of 32. I would walk down the hallway and literally didn't know if it was breakfast or what day it was, or my husband back then would say, oh, are we going now? And I'm like, where are we going? And he said, to the movie. And I said, what? And he said, I just talked to you 2 minutes ago. I'm like, it was not there. I just had no clue. My brain was constantly being reshuffled, rewired, emptied out. And each time afterwards, I was smarter. I don't know. My brain got more and more holistic and I could function better. It was really crazy. I wasn't as smart as I'm like now 20 years ago. So let it happen and trust that essentially your brain will be giving you, it's not really your brain, you as consciousness are going to drop thoughts into your mind that are necessary at the time. And if they're not there, then it's not necessary. Then just actually really not true. It doesn't matter. And your identity of Christine is being dissolved in that moment a little bit more.
I like that. That's good. That helped
good.
Me. Okay.
Good.
I like that.
Okay. Okay, any other questions?
Right.
This is good.
Well, in the winter solstice, you made a comment that, you know, all these jobs that are going to be changing in time for the fifth dimension, will we be covering that? Will you be going into what's actually coming up? Because I know this work is guiding me to something in the future. I know it. I assume we're all here for that reason, or maybe different reasons. But for me, I feel that to be true. And
well,
then I feel a little scattered, though. I feel like because I've been doing this work and I love this work. I keep getting pulled back into it, but I just don't know where I belong in it.
Yes, and I can feel that. You see, you're still not clear what the difference is between five-dimensional awakening and real awakening. If in the context of this course, if you don't know and you're confused, there's a suffering. You have to notice, first of all, that you're suffering, right? There's a suffering.
Okay.
Can you notice that? You address the suffering. You always remove the thorn out of your eye constantly. You don't want to have the thorn in and then try to adjust, you know, around it in order to make your life fit. You want to take the pain out first, and then you can see clearly. And so you're working right at the core of your existence. And then where you have to be, what you have to do, will all just unfold. It's only the ego that says, oh, what am I going to do, what it's going to be like, et cetera, et cetera. And I know I'm a very unusual teacher. I'm a hybrid of being an enlightenment teacher and at the same time also a healer. So I always know that my students are sometimes get confused. But at the same time, I think that's also an advantage, because it makes it, everybody who works with me gets trained naturally being a healer. And essentially you're going to be able to be free in whatever you do. And maybe you're not really a healer per se, but whatever you're going to do, is going to have that understanding, the bigger understanding of why you're doing it, what purpose it is, and all these things. But you're free in it, you know, it's very important. If I have to answer in a sort of outside this course, because I won't put it into any of the modules, what will happen? You just look at the astrology. Because we're moving from earth signs into Aquarius, and there's this Saturn and Jupiter, they're going to be conjunct. So by 2021, you can see that there will be a massive shift in how we live, you know, from everything that's earth. We were always an earth sign. We also take oil, fuel, and everything. We live off the earth, and everything move into Aquarius. Aquarius is an air sign. So technology, I think, and how we do things will all change. Everything will change. And because Saturn and Jupiter are, Saturn's contracting and Jupiter's expanding, they both are kind of working at the same time. So there'll be clearing away of what doesn't work anymore and bringing new things about. So what that really means for us, and what I hope for, is that you guys are going to be so strong in your core that you're not attracted nor have an aversion, that there's no fear, and so that you can hold that center. The more people are this clear that we are and can be, the easier the change will be. I mean, we can have a tantrum about it, and you know, moms that have little kids and they try to just feed them to get them to school, but know that kid is like 3 hours of freaking tantrum. You can have a disaster zone, or you just, the kid eats and goes to school, so it can be all much easier. Is that an answer?
Okay, that's good. I like that. I can definitely take that and run with it. That's good.
Okay, sounds good. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks for the question.
Thank you, Aretha.
Okay. Bye. Okay, so we have Alberta 403. This is Katya, right?
Yes, good afternoon. No questions for me, just wanted to connect.
Oh, okay. Good. Is your health better? Did you get over your cold or what it was? Cough?
No, I still have sore throat. I think it's really irritated at the back. So, but anyway.
Okay, let's elevate or lift a little bit. The idea that you are a person. You don't have to do anything, just be here. And all these feelings right now and thoughts, they're not yours. And I'm saying that because they arose only because of the identification as from I, that I am, mm-hmm. Katya. So all these feelings right now, thoughts right now, they are not yours. You don't have to do anything about it. They're not worth your attention.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, just stay. Just now you're feeling better? Is it different? What happened?
I felt a few shifts, but more like inside, around the chest area.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I felt. I felt a little warm on this point.
Mm-hmm.
And a little quieter on the activity side.
There's go a little deeper, there is more silence. Just remember, all feelings and things come and go. Don't care about it. Don't concern yourself with it. Just
mm-hmm.
know that is all arising and coming out of you and returning back to you. The sore throat is arising from you and returning back to you. These memories and feelings are coming out of you and they're returning back to you. You are forever... eternity that gives birth and also lets die. And
okay.
Yeah, and you're very trained in death. You've seen it. You know there's something about that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's it. There you go. That's it. You're just connecting a little bit more with something here. Is that good?
Yeah, it's, I feel like that's like
okay.
Fire.
Okay. Yeah, there you go. Good. You're laughing again. Perfect. Okay. Bye, sweetheart. Bye. Let's see. Okay, now we have 61421. Who's that?
Hey, Rajima. Hey, class. How you
hey,
going?
Ray. Hi there. good.
That was such a cool talk you gave this morning. I like this talk.
Yeah, I know. You really like the power stuff, and you're relating to it like some others do as well. So do you have you can relate it to your life, right? Like to how you do maybe things already intuitively, but you didn't know what you were doing.
Yeah, and even I suppose with things that I've got to work on or tidy up, like you've said,
mm-hmm.
I can understand that more as well and feel like, yeah, you know, that's going to help me more. So yeah, it's good.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's very much like you're a dentist, right? And it's very surgical. Like, I mean, a mystic is like a surgeon. You are very precise in every step, and it can't be messing around or doing just, oh, let's do a little bit over here or a little bit longer or like, you know, it just doesn't work, right?
Yeah, it's got to be perfect.
Exactly. So if you look at that, but the perfect has to come from a feeling. It's not like out of an obsession, you know, there's not an egoic perfectionism, because that's suffering. Just notice, it has to come from a place of you are scanning neutrally. This is why also being very clear in the center of the head and being neutral is important. You're scanning the world around you, either your aura or the objects around you. You can even touch them if you want or scan, and you just know when something's off, then you need to correct it. And it's just nature. It's just very, it's like nature, your inner nature is really guiding you. And it really is so much easier because you're using the tool of the body. Whereas with the mind or with love even, you know, it gets kind of really wishy-washy. It's just so not so tangible, you know, right? You had more of a difficult time with the mind stuff.
Yeah, with heart stuff, I definitely still have trouble with that stuff. But Yeah,
because it's so wishy-washy. It's not your nature. But as long as you're working with being really neutral when you're engaged in your impeccable living, you will naturally have an open heart, but it'll feel different. It will feel more like a surgeon. Like I said, you know, like I talk about Steve Jobs, he wasn't a very warm, cuddly person. But because he was following what he needed to do in the in the spiritual sense, his heart was open because he was fulfilling something that needed to happen. So let's get away from the human distortion of gooey, wishy-washy love and really kind of ask ourselves, what is the true open heart really? So I think you might find that easier to relate to.
Okay. But no, I do really like this. And that's what I was going to check with you, how you feel I'm going, if you can tap into things. Am I letting in more light these days? How's my meditation going?
Yeah, you are, there's more light and you're happier too, I can see. And maybe a little bit more alignment between your head, like your mind and your heart. Let's do that. And yeah, and that comes from sometimes second-guessing yourself. That's all. Stop second-guessing yourself, and you're going to have a better alignment. Does that help?
I'll look out for that.
Okay. All right. Thanks for connecting, Ray. Okay, bye.
Cool. Thank you. Bye.
Okay, bye. Now it's 70259 in Las Vegas. Hello.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, that's you. Yeah, who's that?
That's Bonnie.
Hi, Bonnie. How are you?
Hi, I'm good.
How's your wrist?
It's getting better finally.
Oh, there you go.
Just started a new treatment last week, and it's starting to have an effect. So I'm encouraged.
Beautiful.
Great. I'm actually having a difficult time with the power module. I would have to say that I've lived most of my life in a powerless state, letting other people control me, having power over me. And what I'm finding is this is just really uncomfortable, even the thought of taking back my own power. And I'm just resisting doing the modules.
Yeah, because let me just show you where you're stuck. You got stuck on the word power. Would you rather have a car with like 20 horsepower or one that has 80 and it gets you going on the freeway?
Absolutely 80.
Good. Power is energy, and you want energy to heal your wrist, correct? So you want power. Okay, so you do want power, because power is energy, and without it, you're dead. So you want, it's not power over. This is the third paradigm misuse of, like, vampires that basically take energy from others. And also, we, as victims, we give energy to somebody and play the power victim, the tyrant victim role. That's a distorted use of power. It has nothing to do with that. But the reason why I still use power, because it's mystically used that way, and because it's true. You have to understand that you are power. You are power. You are an electrical being, and like entities love to suck energy out of us too. We're like batteries. So you need to make sure that you are building more and more power. And if you are scared of misusing your power, that tells me that you don't trust yourself, that there's some parts inside of you where you have anger and resentment. You want to punish somebody because somebody did something to you. And these are programs you want to square away and just kind of become conscious of, make a little list, and clear that away and be at peace with what happened to you. Is this looking different now? Is this starting to look different? Please speak.
Yes. That is interesting what you just said about the anger and the resentment. It's very interesting. I hadn't really even thought about it like that.
Yeah, because this is normal, you know, because the moment you are, we all had tyranny happening in our lives. I mean, we're still, lots of our life is like that still. I mean, the taxes, the governments, the restrictions. We have to pay for a house. We can't just live on this earth. We were born here. I mean, there's so much tyranny going on that we consider normal. And then we have the emotional tyranny and the mental tyranny from parents and teachers and maybe spouses and etc. So when we come to terms with that we actually played our part in creating also this this third paradigm. We signed up for it. We played the part, and we just now the act is, the curtains are falling and saying, no, where is the next, you know, theater play coming on, which we call fifth paradigm. Then we can also be at peace and say, okay, I played my role, and come to peace with the emotions, and then see things more. We forget about it. In other words, we forget about what happens. You will forget at one point your history, because it won't matter anymore, because you're going to be so engaged in here and now. It's going to be so much more fun and more joy. It's like a child playing and forgetting that, oh, mom called him or her for dinner. It just doesn't really matter what happened. In the bigger picture, it doesn't. But it does matter that you attend to the feelings and that sense of wounding, and you heal that, and you reconcile it, and then you can, as quickly as possible, just for your own sake, and then move on, you know.
Okay, how do you address the wounding? Is it just through doing squares, or is there any other way to do that?
If you have a method that works as efficiently, please use it, but just do triangles and squares. The reason why I like it, it takes you out of the drama. It makes you, again, very surgical. It's a very mystical way of doing it. So you basically just say, where's the problem? What needs to be done? And because the emotions are a infinite ocean of like confusion. And when we start using these psychological approaches, they will not free you. They will maybe make you a little happier or something, and reframe things, but they don't take you out of the drama. So the triangle, like right now, if you have a feeling of, let's say, anger, or you can tap into something, find its opposite and just, you know, and then reconcile them, collapse them, just sit there, breathe through it, let it happen. It just takes seconds, and then you go back and you just find another one, and maybe you have to do it for a few weeks, but, you know. And then notice the part inside you right there. I'm going to point on it. I touch it. Right, that one right there. That's the ego. The ego actually doesn't want to heal. You can feel that inside you. There's a part that doesn't want to
heal. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And that part is your free will. So I respect it if you hold on. I respect it if you let go. But it's your free will. But you must know that you're choosing your state of suffering or not. And you cannot blame anybody for it. It's not the story that's the problem. It's that one that I'm touching right now in you. That is the problem. Yeah? Okay.
Yes, and you are very right, because in intellectually or instinctively, I know that I'm holding on to it. And it's just, I live in kind of a confusion in how to get past that. So it kind of keeps spinning in the same,
you're confused because you think there's a way of holding on to it and getting past the suffering, and I'm telling you, no, you have to let that go. The wanting to be right has to go. There's no other way, and as you see, you're stuck because there's no way. You have to let that go and forgive yourself and others, and just not try to be right. And look at it as a program. Even that isn't even, you're not a bad person. It's a program you are aligning yourself with, which is called ego. It's a program. And ego is contraction, and it causes suffering. It causes a good sense of self, of separate self. And that's beautiful. I mean, it's great. We've really, you know, really explored that to the depth, invading other countries, you know, who's stronger than me. I mean, look at the wars and the bloodshed on this planet. We've really explored that, you know, who builds the highest skyscrapers. But it's not fulfilling the heart. You will not find yourself in these acts. We have not found ourselves in these actions. We've just realized this is it. We just want to move on. So I think it'll just all happen. Okay, thanks, Bunny.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, so we have Winona now. Can you hear me? Okay, hi there.
Yes, I can. Yeah, I knew I would be next because most of my questions have been answered by Bonnie and you.
Okay. Well, thanks to Bonnie then.
Thank you, Bonnie, for asking those questions, because I've been finding the same thing. Is there's just this part of me that is just wanting to run away and then play hide and seek because there's this enticement about the power. But it's like, then it's like I run behind a veil, right? And kind of peek out and want it, but yet I'm afraid of the power of it. So I think what you were saying about that, right? The not maybe trusting myself.
Yeah, and you know, when you do this, what will happen, you will be abused. Because if you don't basically claim the energy that's yours and it's just sitting there untouched somewhere, somebody will come and steal it. You will have a drama coming. It's an invitation to some drama and abuse. You are an energetic being. You have to claim that. It has to be accepted.
I've felt that I've done that a number of times in my life, but I've gotten to this point. And then what I find, it's almost like I volunteer to let it go. Like I'll go back and do things where, you know, like where I just quit tapping into it, right? And I shut myself down and go back into the old program. So,
Yes, because we don't want to. It is run by judgment for everybody. I mean, I've had to look at this myself. It's because we judge all these bad people doing all these bad things, from you know, porn rings for children and Assyria. Everything bad that can happen. And if we have any feeling in the heart, we will say, oh my God, that's just so horrible. But that is seeing it from, that's a snake. You see, what is it really? We have to go past our judgment. And in my case, I mean, I did so many squares. I would even take the Hitler out of me. I knew that there was all part, every human person, everybody, everything is inside me. Because if I'm the core and I'm everything, I looked at everything. You can't leave it. You have to claim that and realize, but it comes from a place of neutrality. So, you know, it's a dream. You're just letting go of dreams. And when we do this, then collectively we have a new dream. And that's what we really all want. We want a dream that doesn't look like blood and wars and torture and all that. And so you need to dismantle the dream inside of yourself. And that's the part that has a nice side effect for everybody, right?
Yeah, I love that. You're saying the taking the Hitler out of me. I hadn't really looked at it that way, because that's probably, I feel like probably in past lives, I haven't, you know, there's been times that I probably haven't been as nice as I am in this one.
Oh, well, you know, even in this life, I'm sure. I mean, it comes out in little things like not eating lunch at the right time and ignoring your body and letting it starve, or things like that. That is cruel. Yeah, you know.
That's a good point. So, yeah, taking the Hitler out of me, I will work those squares. It's like, And I'm also wanted to thank you for talking about memory and thoughts, because I'm getting to a point where, like, I was talking to my daughter, one of my daughters the other day, and she was, you know, I asked her a question about something. Oh, have you ever been an acupuncturist? And she's like, Mom, you used to take me all the time. I'm like, oh. It's like all of that is just, like, gone, right? So now they're worried about me, I'm sure, right? They're probably saying, we got to get Mom in. Yeah, I'm just forgetting about everything until, like you say, until it comes up. It's it has been worrying me, so I'm glad to hear maybe it's going to be okay.
No, it is. It's fine. It's absolutely fine. And and I think it'll be more prevalent because the structures are dissolving, so history will fall away for a lot of people. Which we're working on this, right? I mean, it's affecting people around us too.
absolutely. And one last comment about the spiritualness programming that I've found really interesting. You had said something today that caught me, that it really frees me when you're talking about Steve Jobs and everything. Mm-hmm. But I think I have had this programming about spirituality because I have done a lot of healing work in the past, and you name it, I've done it, right? And workshops and I feel like that's just really freed me from having to do it a certain way. Like, I don't have to do it the way I've done it in the past, because I've always ended up walking away from all those modalities, and it's like, wow, I don't have to do, you know, just because I'm taking this doesn't mean I have to do it. So in any
that's
way,
right.
So thank you.
No, that's great. No, that's a beautiful, taking away, that's wonderful. No, that's good.
So thank you so very much, and I will. I'm going to take the Hitler out of me. I love it.
Okay, thank you so much for that. Okay, bye. Bye-bye. Okay, and we have 6124. Hello? It's 612438. I think it's a web link. Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Yes, hello. Who's that?
It's Nadia.
Oh, Nadia. Hi there. Yes.
Hello. Sorry, I didn't recognize the number. I just wanted to say thank you for everything. And, I just had one question. I've got a busy household, so there's lots of people here, lots of children, and sometimes when I try to have that peace and quiet to meditate or to, do things like that, I find it difficult. So I'm trying to just let it be in the background so I can still do it, because there'll always be things happening. So just, I suppose, a bit of help on that. How to just
how old are
be
your
able
children?
To,
are they small?
I've got bigger ones, but the little ones are 7 and 9, and they're always there and talking and excited about things and doing lots of weird
things. They're old. Yeah, they're old enough though. They're not like 3 or 4. So at the age of 7, that age, I think you can expect them to give you half an hour to meditate or be alone. I did that. I would just say, I had a little feather that I would put in front of my door, and I just say, "That's quiet. Do not interrupt," and I'll be back in half an hour. And that was the rule. They're not little kids anymore that need you all the time. So this is a little bit up in your court, how to deal with that, how you let yourself be pulled into the family. And that's also part of the impeccability, like how are you giving your energy away when you shouldn't. You might want to look at that. Then of course there's all this other time during the day where children do, need attention. You can use that as a yoga, right? Are you attracted, repulsed? You might make a little square in your head. You breathe, You just, whatever you do mentally or even emotionally, you just love them. Like, can you love them more? Are you judging them? Are you, Or let's say you're tired and you want something different than what's going on. You might just say, is this really true that I'm tired? This is an experience. It's a phenomena. Is this really true? Who am I really? To whom is this happening? You can work all these different yogas,
Yes. Yeah, I think I've tried to say, I just want, 20 minutes, half an hour quiet, and they find that it just doesn't happen. So I suppose I end up getting upset. So I suppose I've just got to ensure that it happens, and then it can become a habit.
Yeah, well, they're not listening to you. That tells me you have a lack of power. Your words have no weight. You have to. You're a woman and you're a mother. And mothers, matrix of the universe. That is a good invitation to come into your power. And then when you look at them, and this is what it means. And I want to say something that might trigger some people here, but this universe is about life and death. And a woman gives birth and a woman gives death. Because when you give birth to your child, that child died in a different dimension. Women are doorways and portals. They are very mystical beings. So when you look at your children and say, this is half an hour, and you mean it, it has to be like a law that cannot cross that line. Can you feel the power I'm transmitting right now? Can you feel it?
Yes, I can.
Yeah, that's the certainty you have to have. There is no discussion, and they have to feel that. And you know what will happen to your children? They'll feel so safe. They will be very safe in the world, because the world out there is then they know that there are some real guidelines, and they'll feel very held.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, I'll do
that. Okay, good. Okay, bye. Okay, good. Let's, we're at the end of the question and answers. Let's just sit here for a moment quietly. Let's take a deep breath into your belly and breathe out. And just maybe even bring your attention to your power center in the belly. Just the spine is straight, and your dantian, your power center, is just like a glowing ball. In the bowl of the pelvis, think of the bowl, the whole pelvis area is like one of these Tibetan singing bowls. And you breathe, the breath just gently moves in there. And there's space all around, in the front, to the left, behind you. This bowl is spacious. It's a container of who you are as power, as energy. And just rest your attention as you drop down from your third eye, from the cave of Brahman in the center of the head, and you just drop down the core line into the Dantian point, the Hara. We also know that the Hara is also connected to the infinite below through the earth all the way to source. Everything is connected. It contains everything. And the breath is just coming softly and going softly. Om Haum Jum Saha Om Bhu Bhu Vaha Swaha Om Trayambakam Yajamahe Sugandhim Pushti Vardhanam Urvarukkamiva Bandhanan Mitror Makshya Mamratat Swaha Vaha Bhoom Saha Jum Haum Om Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. Thank you for being here today. Thanks for all these wonderful questions and sharing. I wish everybody a wonderful holidays and great summer in the south, great winter in the north here, wonderful solstice, and I split the two calls from December into December and January as we have a month off. So we'll meet once in January and then we'll continue with two calls in February. So I will speak to some of you maybe again this afternoon, and God bless everybody. Thank you. Bye-bye.
The moderator has left the conference.